Please turn with me to Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The subject before us this morning is, Be still and know that I am God. Now this psalm is written to assure the Church of God living in a world of turmoil. There is assurance here of God's security and strength, which brings an antidote to fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is assurance of God's spiritual sustenance and the stability of the church. We read, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. There is assurance of God's presence in tumultuous times. The nations raged in verse 6. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then in verses 8 to 9, there is assurance when considering the works of God, who is in control. It humbles us before him. We are told, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. For he makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in fire. But then there is, in verses 10 to 11, the assurance of responding in faith to these works of God, knowing his name is to be exalted. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. All over the history of the church, the Lord's people have experienced blessed assurance from this psalm. The reformer Martin Luther, when discouraged, would invariably turn to Psalm 46. Oliver Cromwell would sing this psalm with his soldiers before entering into battle. Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, describes this psalm as a means to take comfort from God when things look threatening, by remembering the great things of God, to be assured he will always ultimately glorify his name. William Carey, who was called the father of modern mission, began his missionary career to India in 1793. He served the Lord in that country for 40 years, never once returning to his home in England, and throughout those years he translated portions of the Bible into over a dozen Indian languages. But one afternoon, after 20 years of hard labour, a fire raged through his printing plant and warehouse. All of his printing equipment was destroyed, and most of his precious manuscripts. Obviously, in that day, there was no computer backup copies or even photocopies kept somewhere else. Tragically, 20 years of non-stop labour was gone within a few hours. Many people would have been devastated over the loss and given up, but not William Carey. This is what he wrote to his pastor friend Andrew Murray in England. the ground must be laboured over again. But we are not discouraged. We have all been supported under the affliction and preserved from discouragement. To me, the consideration of the divine sovereignty and wisdom has been very supporting. And then he quoted Psalm 46 verse 10, where the Lord himself says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now the message this morning focused particularly on this exhortation given by God to be still and know that he is God. Be still. Now in the original this has the meaning of us sitting down in the heart. Firstly, it shows that we have a deep confidence in God and his word and his will and his way. Secondly, it evidences as believers to those around us that our confidence is in God. Here is a sanctified serenity. The secret of being still before God is a sincere and wholehearted faith and assurance in the character of God and his word. He is faithful that promised. He is mighty to save unto the uttermost. God is on the throne. It is not a natural tendency, for in difficult times we are often not still in our hearts. Rather, we are anxious. We need to be doing. Even panic. This is evident in a society in which we live. Even at this time, empty supermarket shelves, panic with selfishness. But to be able to be still in the heart is a spiritual experience, and it means that we have confidence not in ourselves but in God. And in these difficult days, this stillness enables a proper practice in our actions and consideration for others. It will take away this spirit of selfishness. Why? Because all our hope and trust is in God. We can look to him by faith, for him to work out his sovereign purposes. Of course we will need to do practical duties to be wise and sensible, but these will be done in the fear of the Lord. To be still means to rest by faith in the way of God, even in the difficult times. We look to him by faith to work out his sovereign purposes. Our hope and trust is in God. David wrote at a time of deliverance in his own experience in Psalm 18 verse 30, "As for God, his way is perfect. His word is proven." This is a man that has confidence in God, and it brings a stillness into his life. Note here how David connected his statement of faith with the word of God. His word, believed in, provides for the stability of the soul. His word is proven. I've proven it to be so, to be sure, to be reliable. So to be still and know that I am God is to trust wholly in the character and attributes and word of God. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon God, because he trusts in you." To be still and know that I am God, it means for us to rest in God's word. For example, his word assures us in this well-known verse that we often quote, "All things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But faith takes comfort not only in the working together for good promised here, but even more so in his ultimate purposes for us. Because we often forget to read with this verse 28, verse 29. And there we read, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." To be conformed to the image of his Son. In terms of God's dealings with us, here is the purpose, here is the objective, to conform us to Christ. To be still and know that I am God. This is an act of faith wherein a believer, despite circumstances and fears and stress and tears, nevertheless is committed to sit still. It is the act of faith in God where a believer is still in the heart despite the accusations and opposition of Satan. It is an act of faith wherein the believer, being burdened by sin, doubt and fear, takes this step of faith to be still, to know God. John Newton, the well-known preacher and hymn writer, wrote the verses on this text which are so applicable at times. "Be still, my heart, these anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on the Lord and contradict his gracious word. Brought safely by his hand thus far, why wilt thou now give place to fear? How canst thou want if he provide, or lose thy way with such a guide?" You will remember we read in the book of Ruth, at the time when Boaz was putting matters in order to marry Ruth. Naomi, her mother-in-law, she says to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." This wise advice from Naomi reminds us of how we must sit still in our heart and depend upon our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will not rest until every one of his sheep are safely in the fold, not one missing. He will not rest until you are safely in your heavenly home. So this means to sit still, to be still, to sit still, to place all your confidence in your Saviour, in a spirit of willing dependence upon him. It means also to have an overriding respect for the Word of God as your ultimate point of reference. What does the Word of God say? To be assured in the character and way and Word of God, and to do so, to be in this spirit this morning, is in itself an act of worship, because it brings honour to his name. It enables our effective witness to our family and friends and workers, those that we work with. To be still and know that I am God is actually one of the great signs of spiritual maturity. It shows that you have been shown something of your own frailty and God's all-sufficiency. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. Be still is not an act of the will without direction. It is an act of the will motivated and strengthened by a faith focusing upon God, to know him and his ways. What is God teaching me in my life? What is God saying to me in these events which are happening to me? What is God saying in the events that are happening in this world in which we live. Consider the works of God, to know him, his purposes. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The exaltation of God, we can exalt God in our heart. It can be our great desire that he will be exalted in the nations. Consider his creation. Magnify his name, his works, his providences, his sovereign permissive will, his wonderful work of salvation, his word. Oh, the Apostle Paul respected and appreciated this exercise of knowing God. He did this in the context of realizing the benefit of knowing Christ as his Saviour and as his Lord, to know him as a person, that it might bring a stillness in his soul, a sense of serenity, a security, spiritual well-being. So he goes on to say in Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Notice that word conformed. Again, we have it here. The way God is working all things for good, that we might be still and know that God is God. He might be exalted in our lives and magnified. Paul goes on to speak later of the peace of God. This is being still, is it not? Surpassing all understanding. The world cannot comprehend this. Why is this Christian in these troublous times still at peace? Why are they not panicking like we are? The peace of God surpassing all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, be still and know that I am God. Knowing God. Knowing God, we need to think about God. We need to meditate upon his glorious name and work. Consider the character of God to know him, his way, his purpose. His purposes are perfect. We have the victory in him, victory over death. Consider the purposes of God to build his church, knowing the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But knowing God will help us to understand our own dependence upon God, our own frailty, our proneness to wander, our weakness. Knowing God will help us to have a better understanding of ourselves. It's a conviction of contrasts between God and yourself. As you consider God, as you are still and know God, you will realize in your meditation and consideration that God is holy and you are unholy, that God is infinite and we are finite, that God is almighty and we are weak, that God is wise and we are unwise so often. And so faith recognizes our dependence on God. It comes to trust in him and find grace and strength in him at all times. Trust in him at all times, you people. Lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Oh, this requires humility. The exercise in the soul of being still and knowing God, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, brings us to the truth of Isaiah 57 verse 15, wherein we read, "For thus saith the high and lowly one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." But listen, "with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh, to know this reviving. In our own souls, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. We need to know him. But being still and knowing God will also help us to understand the times that we are living in and to respond appropriately with a heart for the lost, with a heart to honour God. And so consider seriously and thoughtfully the withdrawing of the hand of God at these times. You know, those of us who have grown up in the years after the Second World War, our generation, our people, we've known so much blessing providentially. We have been so favoured. The material blessings under God in this world in which we live in are incredible compared with how people were living just even 50 years ago. And in all these times, to a large extent, God's long-suffering has been manifest. And we're talking about worldwide situations. Oh, there have been signs of God's judgments in certain places of the world. But God has, in his long-suffering, withheld us from, in a worldwide situation, from disease, worldwide, and plagues, and the such like. But then we come to the stop time of God, the times of God's judgments upon the world in a larger way, in a more vast way, we might say, a way wherein the world itself is trembling and taken all manner of steps . This has all come about simply because God has withdrawn his hand just a little. How is it that this world is not like this all the world? How is it that the world is not like hell on earth all the while? Because of God's restraining mercy and long-suffering mercy, despite all the attacks upon his glorious name, the unbelief, the profanity, the idolatry, God has been so long-suffering. And yet it just takes God to withdraw his hand just a little. And here we are in trouble. Very quickly, within months, huge nations are on their knees, affected not only with death, but with material loss. Consider, be still. And know that I am God. God is not only a God of love and long-suffering and patience. He is a God of justice. This is the warning, the wake-up call, the sovereignty of God. And so knowing God will help us to understand the times that we are living in and respond appropriately. And we need to respond first and foremost personally this morning. How are we going to respond? What is the great sign that we are being still and knowing God? Peter explains it to us. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God this morning, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is the exercise of true living faith. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Oh, to be still and know that I am God will help us then to understand the times, to respond personally, appropriately, but also to respond in our communities, taking the opportunity to share the gospel in these latter days, as we should do, and are commanded to do so by the Lord Jesus himself. We read in Isaiah 28, that chapter speaks of troubled times. Troubled times caused by ungodliness. Troubled times caused by worldliness in the witness of the church. A lack of spiritual desire. We read in Isaiah 28 of the warning and just judgments of the Lord. So it was a terrifying time that was spoken of here in Isaiah 28. But right in the center of this chapter, speaking of the great love and mercy and grace of God, is the prophesied Christ. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Oh, dear friends, today we live in troublous times, times of grief and sorrow and fear and fainting under the just judgment of God. But there's still the gospel. There's still the Lord Jesus. There's still hope in a dying world. There's still light in a dark world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But we are called to preach of that light, that the remnant, those ordained unto eternal life, might respond to the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a cornerstone. There is a sure foundation this morning. There is a precious stone. A stone which has been tested and proven to be sure and real and certain. And he that believes shall not make haste, will not panic like so many people are doing, but will be sure and steadfast. The believer will not make haste, but he will be still in the heart, knowing God. There will be a serenity and a surety. Oh, there is still Christ to proclaim in difficult days, to believe in and to trust in. There is a foundation in an uncertain world. If we believe in him and trust in him, we will experience stability, security, and serenity. So we come to a conclusion. At such a time as this, let us be still and know God, and bring God by faith in your hearts into this situation, into your situation. Know God in and over the situation by faith. But what is the ultimate aim and purpose of all this? What is the ultimate aim of both the love of God and the wrath of God? What is the ultimate aim? What is it all about? This is the reason. We have it here. God says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And no one was ever going to stop the exaltation of God. At the end of the world, every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. He will be exalted. This is the top stone statement of faith. It is the keystone for us. It is the meaning and purpose of all things. It is the reason to be still and know that I am God this morning. Because he will be exalted. Even the wrath of man shall praise him. God will be exalted, both in grace and in justice. So what about us this morning? We cannot fight God and win. But we can submit to God, to be still and know God, and get the victory in him. What is true of your attitude this morning? If you are an unbeliever and you're fearful of these events going on and whether or not you might be affected in your life and you might fall ill and you might end up in hospital on a ventilator in a very perilous condition with your life, my friend, I ask you, can you face eternity? Can you face the end of your life with certainty, with surety? Are you still in your heart or fearful in your heart? How can you know peace? You have to get it through the peacemaker. You need to be right with God. And it can come as you repent of your sin and you turn to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and you put your trust in Him and you follow Him by faith. You will know the peace of God. And for believers this morning, remember, there is a great testimony in trusting God in this way, to be still and know that God is God. Your heart's desire that God will be exalted in the nations through this situation, through these events. That God will be exalted in your own heart and exalted in the nations. What is true of you this morning?